Moses was out of the scene. But God raised a man, Joshua, to come in the footsteps of Moses. And then as time passed by, I was reading also where it came time for Moses to go by the way of the grave. And the Hebrew children, the people began to be in disarray. They began to be in confusion, in a state of uncertainty. And they began to pray and cry unto the Lord, who will lead us now? And you know, I thought it was very unique that God chose Judah, actually not Judah the man, but Judah the tribe, to step up. And then he also caused Simeon, the tribe of Simeon, to step up. And along with the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Simeon, they were victorious. They was able to go out. So even though the reins may change, God never changes. Amen. The God of Moses was the God of Joshua. The God of Joshua was the God of the tribe of Judah. The God of the tribe of Judah was also the God of the tribe of Simeon. And can I tell you this morning, First Pentecostal Church, he's still the same, and he's our God today. And I'm so thankful, amen, that even though that we pass by and get older and older, God is still on the scene. And David was writing. Many scholars think that this was during the time of Absalom's uprising. Can't imagine the thoughts and the sadness and the concern that may have entered into the heart and the mind of David as his own flesh and blood, his own son, rose up against him. And, you know, he had to treat it like it was another enemy, but it was blood. It was kinship. Imagine some of the most difficult nights that David spent as king of Israel may have been during this particular time when a member of his own family rose up against him. And David began to write this particular psalm. I know he probably wrote others during this time, but this one seems to stand out above all of the rest because the very first thing he says is, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." Amazing that someone with all of those years of experience, all of those years of victorious battles, all of the times that God was with him as he slew the giant, as he slew the bear, as he slew the lion, and many, many other conquests were experienced during the time of David's reign. But this is a particular time he did not count on that experience. He did not count on that knowledge. He did not count on his ability or his talent. He said, "God, in thee do I put my trust." And let me tell you, there'll be days, amen, when all that you have learned and all that you're about will never be sufficient to bring you through the battle. It'll be those times when you need to understand that it's in God that I put my trust, and let me never, ever, amen, be into a state of confusion. The English dictionary tells us that confusion is the lack of understanding, an unclear in one's mind about something. Many of us stay in a state of confusion a lot of times. You know, sometimes we think confusion is just running around in a circle. Not necessarily. Sometimes confusion is just kind of going over and over and over in our mind. What is the answer? What can I do? Which way will I turn? Who can I ask? Where can I go? That type of thing. Uncertain about the next move or the decision that we must make. But the Hebrew term goes in just a little bit deeper. The Hebrew word for confusion is bush, B-U-S-H. It means to be ashamed, to be confounded, to be disappointed when things do not turn out as expected. It goes on to say that it is the exact opposite of trust. And that's the key point that I want to bring this morning. We say we trust in God. We live by the fact that we trust in God. We end our prayers so many times, "God, and you I trust." But why do we remain in a state of confusion? Why do we remain in a state of uncertainty? Why do we remain in a state of being ashamed of ourselves? The Hebrew definition went on to say there was even a blushing or a paling of the countenance or the face of a person for whatever reason, the guilt or the sin or the disappointment that had arisen in his life or her life had brought them to this point of confusion, not knowing which way to go or what decision to make. And understand, we need to weigh those decisions, but we also need to put our faith and trust in God, amen, so that the Lord will help us and inevitably to make the right decision. And the right decision is not always what seems right in our mind, but what's right in the Spirit of God. And David said, Lord, I don't want to get to this state. I want to avoid this particular situation. But yet, I would imagine that he began to pour his heart out to God. I believe he began to ask the Lord to lead me and to guide me and to help me. And I believe with all of my heart, whether you've been saved for 10 days, 10 years, or 50 years, there's still a time that we need to consult the Spirit of God. I believe that we need to let the Lord lead us and guide us in every avenue of our life, not just when we enter into the sanctuary, but especially when we go out into our world and we face every day's problems and situations. I dread to think where I would be today if I had not put my faith and trust in an almighty God. Let me tell you, he'll never disappoint you. He'll never fail you. Amen. He's always the answer to whatever the problem, to whatever the situation, every affliction, every sickness. We can still put our faith and trust in God. I believe we're still living in the days of miracles. I believe we have not because we ask not. If we have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, I would believe that mountains would be moved today, not only for the church, amen, but for the nation today, if we would get in one mind and one accord, as the Word of God urges us to do, begin to pray for God's will and not my will, not the will of people or popularity, but the will of God. I believe we would see a revival that would shake this very nation. But can I tell you that seemingly people that you talk to are in this state of confusion or uncertainty. People will make statements like, I don't know what this world's coming to. Read Revelation. Hello? Read the Bible. The Bible is very explicit. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand. Amen. I'm standing on the word of God. Amen. I'm putting my faith and trust in his promises. Amen. I'm glad to be a born again Christian. It's not the denomination. It's not the roll book that's going to save you, but it's the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad, hallelujah, I went to an altar of repentance. I'm glad he came into my life. Hallelujah. I'm here today to tell you, it's not about me. It's all about Jesus. Amen. I'm so glad that he's still saving folks. But somehow, some way, people can't seem to understand that. As David in his latter years began to realize, can I tell you that the older I have gotten, I begin to realize that the more I contemplate, I used to just act. Now I contemplate. Man, can I maybe go into that a little deeper? There was days when youth was in this body that I would just act. I would react. I would do. I would go. I would run to the mailbox just for the sake of running because I could. But now I contemplate. As I walk very slowly and methodically to the mailbox. When I was young, I thought it might be a letter or a card from my sweetheart. The older I got, the more I realized that maybe it's a bill or a piece of junk mail. And I contemplate. I don't run to the car to go anywhere. I walk to the car. I don't run into Walmart. I walk methodically into Walmart. If my wife's with me, I run quickly from Walmart. But I contemplate. And as David begin to contemplate, begin to think of the past things in his life and how that maybe now, because of age, because of experience, because of many failures in his life, he wanted to act methodically. He wanted to act wisely. He wanted to make the right decisions rather than just act or react, or rather than go off half-cocked, so to speak. He wanted to make sure that whatever he was doing, or whatever he was saying, or whatever he ordered his army to do would be by the will of God and not by his own personal revenge or vengeance or whatever he thought it would be. And I think that he wrote this psalm pouring out his heart and his soul, amen, to God. Lord, I need you again today. I need you to help me in this matter. I need you to comfort me, God, because without you, and if I can't place my trust in you, I will be in an eternity or eternal state of confusion or disorientation or uncertainty of the mind. David began to write five things that I want to touch on this morning that caused him to realize that if he would apply these to his life, he could in fact avoid confusion. The very first thing that stood out in my mind as I was reading this, David said, I need a strong habitation. I need a strong habitation. Ephesians 2:22 says, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. A strong habitation. Can I just give a little bit of practical advice today? We need a strong family unit. Amen. We need a God-fearing family unit. I do not believe that prayer is outdated. Don't like the word old-fashioned service. That denotes that it's no longer good. Let me tell you something. The prayer services that my ancestors grew up on serve the same mighty God that I'm serving today. He's still just as real. Amen. I don't believe prayer is out of date. I don't believe clapping your hands and worshiping Lord. The Lord is out of order. Amen. I believe that we ought to come together, amen, in a strong habitation, a place where the Lord lives. Amen. And I said this. Not only do I want the Lord living in me, understand this statement, I want to live in God. I want him to direct my steps. I want him to affect my decision making. I want him to be with me every day, every moment of my life. I want to build up a strong habitation, a place where I can feel the power of God. Many folks think that the only time you can feel the presence of the Lord is when you enter into the sanctuary. Let me tell you, because of the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, you can have a strong habitation as you walk the streets of this city, as you drive down I-20, as you walk into your house, because of the Spirit of God. We need a strong habitation today. If we want trust, if we want faith, we must have a strong habitation, amen, that houses the Spirit of God within our lives. He realized that he needed a strong habitation. And he realized that you don't get a strong habitation from just anywhere. Many people are placing their faith and their trust in other avenues than God. Many place it in their wealth. Many place it in their own ability. This is another thing I think that came with age with David. He realized he was not physically as strong as he once was. And that made him be more dependent on God. God, I need you today as I've never needed you before. God, I can't make it. I've tried everything I know to do. God, I've lost sleep about this matter. God, I've cried till my tear ducts are dry. Lord, I've carried this burden to work. I've tried to put on a smiling face, but God, I just got to be honest with you. If you don't help me, I'm going to enter into a state of confusion, a state of uncertainty. But then we realize, amen, that we have a strong habitation. The very thing that you need to realize is the one thing that Satan wants you to forget. He wants you to forget about your relationship with an almighty God. Brother Rowdy, I've got a relationship with one who spoke this world into existence. I got a relationship with the one who caused the Red Sea to split. I've got a relationship with the one who cooled the fiery furnace for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I've got a relationship with one who caused the sun to stand still for Joshua. I've got a relationship with a God that won't leave me, won't forsake me, but will go all the way with me. Amen. Satan don't want you to know that. The adversary comes against it, but praise God, I built up a strong habitation, not of my power, not of my might, but the power is of God. Can you give him praise in this house this morning? A strong, strong habitation. It's where I live. Amen. I live in the power of God. I exist in the grace of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every morning when I wake up, I know it is the gift of God. Amen. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not even promised our next breath. The Bible explicitly lets us know that our breath is on loan from God. Build a strong habitation. A powerful habitation. And the only way that that strength is going to be used is through the power of God. And David realized, if I don't have a strong habitation, I'm going to continually be in a state of confusion. And I want to avoid this uncertainty. I want to avoid, amen, this confounded thing that comes on me. This spirit, amen, of confusion. I want to denounce it in the name of Jesus. Saint of God, let's refrain from using the words, I don't know what I'm going to do. Do you know you're speaking anti-faith when you say that? I've had to check myself, Brother Rowdy, because I want to let you in on something. I do know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn it over to God. I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to put my faith and trust in him. I can't fix it. I've tried to fix it. So it's not what I'm going to do. And when I say I don't know what I'm going to do, I don't know which way I'm going to turn, the devil will jump right up there and say, that's exactly right. You poor, pitiful thing. You don't have any recourse. But I have recourse. I have a strong habitation. I have a mighty God. I have someone living within me who's able to come over any situation that we face. Hallelujah. Avoiding confusion. The next thing that David mentioned was a rock. Thou art my rock. Hallelujah. You know, these five things are very similar, but in actuality, they're very different as well. They're all unique in their own sense. When I think of a rock, when I think of the firmness of a rock, I think about something that is solid, impenetrable, unmovable, and that's where I want my foundation. Because if my foundation is on shaky ground, I want to tell you, doesn't matter how many times I read the Bible, doesn't matter how many times I attend the church, if I am not standing on a firm and solid foundation, my world is going to begin to tremble. Amen. Things are going to begin shaky. I may enter into a state of uncertainty. And David said, I don't want to go there. Not only do I need a strong habitation, but I need a solid rock. I need a foundation. Amen. That when everything else around me falls, I'm still going to be standing. standing on a solid foundation. Amen. Glory to God. The devil may take everything you got. I wish Job was here, but Job stood on a solid foundation. He said, naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going to leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He fell and worshiped God. Although everything that was near and dear to him was taken away, he said, I'll never be moved from the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on a sure foundation. Praise God. Can I tell you, no matter how pretty the building is, how well built it is, how high it reaches, and how majestic it looks, if it ain't built on a solid foundation, the fall will be great. The fall will be a certainty. Amen. But when you built on a rock, I said, when you built on the rock, the rains are coming. And you can count on it. This is not a weatherman speaking. I'm going to quit putting my faith and confidence in the weatherman. He said, the rain's coming. I said, I ain't going to do nothing today. Sun was shining. I said, I've wasted this whole day. The next day, he said, it's going to be pretty. A little cloudy, but pretty. I put my tools in the car and I went over to take care of some branches. Let me tell you what, I wasn't in it 15 minutes till the rains came. I said, weatherman, I'm going to quit listening to you. I can't put my faith and confidence in him. But let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you today, not as a weatherman, but I'm going to tell you by the prophetic word of God, the rains are coming. Amen. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. Amen. But let me tell you something. We got a strong foundation. We got a solid rock and we got a strong habitation. Amen. And when the rains come and the winds come and the floods come, the house on the rock stood firm. Amen. It stood firm through the storm, through the rain, through the winds, whatever situation may come. Why? Because my faith is in God. My faith is not in me. It's not my ability. It's not my intellect, but it's in the power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, we need a rock. David also said, we need a fortress. Man, we need a fortress. I want to tell you something. Even though we're full of the power of the Holy Ghost, we need safety and protection. Glory to God. The Bible says, take on the whole armor of God. And having done so, take the shield of faith. You know, the helmet fits one part of the body. The breastplate fits one part of the body. Amen, all of that. But the shield is mobile. I said it's mobile. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can ward off the fiery darts of Satan if he comes head on. If he comes to your side, you can ward him off. Amen. If he comes to the back of you, you can put that shield around you. Glory to God. I'm thankful for the shield. I'm thankful for the safety and the protection, amen, of the mighty power of God. We need a fortress. Amen. We need to get out of this thing. I can make it all by myself. I don't need nobody. Let me tell you, I need the prayers of every one of you. I got the power of God, but I still need the prayers of this church. I need the support of my brothers and sisters. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You may think you can stand alone, but you need the prayers and the support of your brothers and sisters. If you don't realize it, they are part of your body. We are placed in the body of Christ according to His will, and we do need one another. We need that fortress. We need it. Jeremiah wrote, O Lord, my strength, my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction. I told you the rains are coming. The afflictions will come. They may not be all physical. They may be mental. They may be emotional. But we have a fortress. We have a fortress. Many people would classify the place of worship as a fortress. I don't want to shake your faith and trust, but it's not the building. Can I tell you that the God that I serve would meet us down in the lower 40, if that's where we gathered, without any roof, Amen. It's where the body meets. Now, I want to clarify something. It's not that I come to the building for safety and refuge. It's I come to the body. Come on. I come to the body. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. You need the body of Christ. You need that prayer. You need that emotional contact. You need that constant reminder. Let me tell you, we talk about the blood. Let me tell you something. If you don't move the feet, the blood quits running to the feet. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Amen. If you don't ever use your arms or your fingers, that blood begins to retract and go back up. Amen. To the more parts, amen, that are functioning. Amen. If I'm the little bitty finger, if I'm the fingernail on the little bitty finger, I need the body. I need the blood to flow. I need the prayers and I need the support of the church. That's where I can come in. I praise God and I worship God, but I need the protection, amen, of my fellow saints praying with me. The Bible says, if any among you are sick, let him call for the elders of the church and pray the prayer of faith, anointing with oil. I need that fortress. I want that fortress. I desire that communion with God's body. We need safety and protection. In order to have the last two, there's an order here. You must have these three things preceding this. I think as Christians, so many times we want to jump. We want to react and act like I did in the youth. We want to pass, get over the humps. Why I got to go through all them grades to get to the 12th? Come on, why have I got through all them steps? Amen. Many times we as Christians, we don't want to go through the necessary steps. David said, before I can get to hope. Come on. A lot of us want to jump into hope. But before I could get to hope, I need a strong habitation. And I need a rock and a foundation. Hallelujah. And I need a fortress. And if I can get these three things, amen, in constant, amen, continuity, continuously in my body and in my spirit, then I not only can have hope, I will have hope. Amen. And he says, I want hope. Never, ever lose hope. Don't care how dark it gets. Don't care how bad the situation looks. You may not have the answer. You may not even realize what's going to happen. But never, ever lose hope. And the reason we don't lose hope is because my hope is in Jesus. Amen? It's not in me. It's not in my ability. But my hope lies in Him. Hallelujah. And He's never failed me. We have access by faith. But they don't have much faith. Yes, you do. Every man, woman is given a measure of faith. You just haven't exercised it. You haven't used it like you should. Faith is not something that you take out of a box and use it only when you are sick. Faith is not something that you take, pull down off the shelf just when you need a physical blessing or a material blessing. Faith is something that should constantly accompany you. You should never ever step outside your door unless you do it in faith. You should never get behind the wheel of an automobile unless you do it in faith. Amen. And when you get my age, you should never jump off a step unless you do it in faith. It ain't the jump that gets you, it's a sudden stop. Amen. I contemplate steps now too. But hope comes from a true relationship with Almighty God. Hallelujah. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I've heard a lot of people use the word hope with the sourest emotion and expression on their face you could ever see. There used to be a cartoon called Dick Tracy, and they had a man on there. He was one of the bad guys, and his name was Pruneface. Christians, can I let you in on something? Christians don't need to be prune faces. Man, I hope God works this out. Rejoice in the fact that God is going to work it out. Not in your time, not in my time, but in His time. If He don't do it today, get ready for tomorrow. If He don't do it tomorrow, get ready for the end of the week. If He don't do it by then, it's still coming. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice. Testify. Glorify God for the hope that God is going to do His word. Man, praise God. And no, I'm not calling you prune faces. Your mirror will let you know whether or not that applies. And finally, it ends the way it began. Isn't it amazing? Things kind of go in a circle. But right where David started, he ends up again. And he said, you know what? Thou art my trust for my youth. You know, every once in a while when I'm contemplating, I think about the years that I was a teenager. I remember one time, Susan's brother, Julius, we lived over there in the apartments, and he wanted to start this training program where we would jog from our apartments over to the high school and run around the track. And I was all for it because I usually run anyway. I mean, this was when a time when I wasn't half the man I am now. I'm talking in size. I don't know what y'all thinking. I little obese skinny run. That's a run. And I said, yeah, let's do it. And I began to do it out the door. You know, let's go, bro. Let's get it. And Julius was twice the man I am today. Pretty big guy. And he's going like that. And I'm bouncing up there, you know. And then I bounce back to see what it's doing, you know. And I bounce back over there And I'm just saying this, but I'm not trying to build myself up. I was kind of like a racehorse in the gate. I'd ready to go. Let's get it done. Come on. You know, let's do it. And then we got over to the ball field. And I looked, and here come around the corner. Here come Julius, you know. And I was down there at the ball field, and I was still dancing around. And so I started circling, you know. And he was still coming down to there, and he got down to about to where the field house was, and happened to run up on somebody that he knew, and they began to talk. Now, Julius may not be able to jog real good, but he can talk. So I was jogging around. I'm thinking, you know, I don't think he's going to come down here. So finally, I quit jogging. I go up there to see him, and he's breathing heavier than I am. But I said all that to say this. Sometimes now, I contemplate. I got a feeling today I would be more like Julius. Let's go jogging. Okay. And I'll get over there and, well, that's enough for me. And maybe David was thinking, you know, back when I was young, back when I went up to the brothers and said, I'll go out there and fight him. Because I ain't going in my strength. I'm not going with spear and sword. I'm going in the name of the Lord. But now he's contemplating. He said, you know what? It really wasn't my strength. It really wasn't my agility. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think it was really David's aim. I think God took control of that rock when it left that sling. You know what? I'm just going to say this. It's going to cost you nothing whatsoever. Many Christians are still slinging that thing. Oh, can I hit it? Can I hit it? Can I hit it? You're afraid to let it go. But when you let it go, God takes over and it hits its mark. And David maybe is contemplating. It really wasn't my aim. It wasn't my strength. And in fact, as I think back on it, every single time it was God. So there's where my trust lies. So what have I got to be confused about? What have I got to be uncertain about? What have I got to be confounded about? I know where my answer lies. I'm putting my trust in God. I put it in the trust. And then the Lord saw me through it. Every problem, every affliction, every situation. And that same God is going to do it again. It's called faith. Amen. To put that trust. I read you earlier where the Hebrew definition said that confusion, or the state of confusion, was the exact opposite of trust. So if we're in that state, we need to trust more. We need to trust God. The Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. If we'll do that, amen, the confusion will clear up. If we do that, that uncertainty will become a certainty. Amen? Not in ourselves, but in Almighty God. Would you love the Lord this morning? Would you love Him with praise? Would you thank Him for every time He's made a way for you? Every time He's ever healed you? Every time He's ever opened a door for you? Come on, you're clapping for Jesus now. You're glorifying the Lord, because that's where my faith is. That's where my trust is. And that's the reason I can stand today with hope, amen, that God will, in fact, make a way. May God bless you. We love you so very much. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Maybe there's a need in the home today, in the house today. Maybe there is an uncertainty. Maybe there is a state of confusion. And you need your mind redirected and focus on the trust and the power of Almighty God. Regardless of the situation, I want to say this, regardless.